All right, so today we're going to dive into something that I think is becoming more and more relevant, and that's how social media discovery is playing out in employment discrimination cases. You know, it's this kind of tricky area where you have to think about individual privacy and then balance that with, the need to actually get evidence in legal disputes. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a super fascinating area. It's kind of where like the law and technology are just constantly bumping into each other. And a case that I think really set some ground rules in this whole area is the Jacko case, Jacko versus Patchogue Medford Union Free School District.
Okay, Jack, yeah.
Yeah, it was out of the Eastern District of New York back in 2013.
2013, okay.
Yeah, so, a while ago, but it still has a lot of relevance today in terms of how courts are approaching these kinds of issues.
So let's actually get into the specifics of this case. What was going on that led to this whole legal battle?
Well, so we have Teresa Jacquetto. She was a teacher, and she had been diagnosed with ADHD. She let the school district know about her diagnosis and then claimed that after she told them that things kind of went downhill.
Oh, okay.
So she started alleging that she was being treated differently, like unfairly, and that this discrimination took a bunch of forms, She said she was being ridiculed. She got hit with some disciplinary actions like counseling letters. And then ultimately, she was involuntarily transferred to a different teaching position, which is never a good sign.
Right.
So basically, she's alleging that all of this was because of her ADHD diagnosis.
So that's what brought about the lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly. So Jacquetto decided to sue the school district. And she claimed disability discrimination under both the Americans with Disabilities Act, so that's the ADA,
Right.
and the New York State Human Rights Law. And in her lawsuit, she was looking for damages, typical stuff, lost wages and other financial compensation. But a key part of her claim was actually emotional distress.
Emotional distress. Okay, and that, I'm guessing that's where social media comes into this whole thing.
Exactly. You're getting it. So during discovery, which, is when both sides are digging around trying to get evidence to support their case, the school district made a pretty bold move. They asked for all of Mrs. Jacquetto's social media history.
Whoa.
I know, right? And they weren't just talking about one platform either. They wanted everything. Facebook, Twitter, even MySpace. This was a while back, remember?
Workspace.
I mean, you can kind of tell this was like peak early social media days.
Totally, yeah.
But really, though, to ask for her entire history, that seems pretty extreme, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. What was the school district's reasoning behind such a broad request?
Well, their argument was that her social media posts, all those updates and pictures and comments, they might have some information that contradicts her claims of emotional distress.
So basically, like if she's posting pictures of herself having a good time, looking happy, they're thinking that undermines her argument that she's suffering.
Exactly. They were thinking, hey, if she's out there living her best life online, maybe she's not as emotionally distressed as she's saying.
Okay, that makes sense.
They also kind of threw in that maybe her posts could be relevant to any physical damage claims, but honestly, that wasn't really as clear-cut from the beginning.
I see, I see. And I'm assuming Giacchetto's lawyers weren't just going to let that slide.
Oh, absolutely not. They pushed back hard. They argued that this was a total fishing expedition, way too broad, just a huge invasion of privacy. Like, they were just hoping to maybe stumble upon something that would help their case without really having a specific reason to believe it was actually there.
So this is setting up quite the legal dilemma for the court. What was the big question they had to grapple with?
Right. So the court really had to weigh two things. On the one hand, you have the school district's right to defend themselves and to gather evidence for their case. And on the other hand, you have Giacchetto's right to privacy, her right to keep her personal online stuff, well, personal. So the question became, how do you balance those two competing interests? What, if any, of her social media should the school district be able to see?
It's a tough one. So what did the court ultimately decide? Did they give the school district full access to her social media?
So the magistrate judge for the Eastern District of New York, Judge Tomlinson, tried to find some middle ground. They allowed some access, but definitely didn't give the school district free rein over all of Giacchetto's social media.
So not a complete win for either side.
Yeah, pretty much. The court basically said, look, social media can definitely have relevant information, but that doesn't mean you get to just go on a fishing expedition and look at everything. Judge Tomlinson pointed to Rule 26 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, the rules about discovery,
Right.
and that rule is all about relevance.
Okay, yeah. That's Rule 26B1, the big one, the foundation for the entire discovery process. It's the rule that says parties can get information about anything that isn't privileged if it's relevant to their claims or defenses in the case.
Exactly. And that word relevant is really important here.
Yeah.
The court was basically saying just because something might be relevant doesn't mean you have a right to go digging through someone's entire digital life. There has to be a clear connection between the stuff they're asking for and the actual issues in the lawsuit.
So how did the court apply that idea of relevance to Giacchetto's social media? What kind of posts do they say could actually be discoverable?
Well, they took a pretty targeted approach. They basically laid out some specific categories of posts that they felt could be relevant to Giacchetto's claims of emotional distress. One category was any post where she actually talks about her emotional distress, especially if she connected it to the events she was suing about.
So any post where she's directly talking about the emotional distress she claims to have experienced.
Exactly. Like, if she mentions being really upset or anxious because of something the school district did, well, that's definitely relevant, right?
Makes sense. What other types of posts were they looking for?
They also said that any posts about other things that might be causing her stress could be relevant.
Oh, like what?
So, for example, let's say she posted about going through a rough divorce or having financial problems, things like that. The school district could then try to argue that maybe those things were contributing to her emotional distress, not just the discrimination she's alleging.
Okay, so trying to show that maybe there are other explanations for her claimed emotional state.
Exactly. And then there's the whole question of physical injury.
Right, right. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah. So Giacchetto's initial complaint was mainly focused on emotional distress, but the court said that if she was claiming any physical injuries, they might allow discovery of social media posts that could contradict those claims. Like, imagine if she said she couldn't lift anything heavy, but then they found a picture of her lifting weights at the gym. That would be relevant.
Yeah, that's a classic example.
Well, right. But here's the thing. The judge actually told Giacchetto to first write down any physical injury she was claiming before they would allow any discovery on that issue.
Hmm. Interesting. So they didn't just automatically open the door to digging around for physical injury evidence on her social media.
No, no. They wanted her to be clear about what physical injuries she was actually alleging first. It kind of shows how careful the court was being about not letting discovery get too broad, even in areas like physical injury.
That makes sense. So it seems like the court was really trying to link the scope of discovery to the specific things Giacchetto was claiming in her lawsuit.
Absolutely. And there was actually one more category of posts that the court said could be relevant.
Yeah.
Anything that directly mentioned the specific events or allegations in her complaint. So if she posted about being ridiculed by her colleagues or about that involuntary transfer, those posts would be fair game.
Okay, so a much more focused approach than just handing over every single post she's ever made. So did the court then say, all right, Giacchetto, give the school district your passwords?
Thankfully, no. Judge Tomlinson didn't go that far. They didn't force her to give them her logins or anything like that. Instead, they said her lawyer had to look through her social media accounts and find any posts that fit into those categories we talked about. And then the lawyer would have to hand over those specific posts to the school district.
Okay, so it's not like the school district gets to go on a little social media adventure through her accounts.
Nope. Her lawyer is acting as a gatekeeper, deciding what's relevant and what needs to be disclosed.
That feels like a good way to try and balance things, protecting some of her privacy while still allowing the school district to get some information that might be relevant to the case.
Yeah, that's the idea. It recognizes that there's a legitimate need for discovery, but also that we need to protect people's private information, especially if it has nothing to do with the actual legal dispute. It also highlights the ethical duties lawyers have during discovery, you know, to make sure they're not overstepping boundaries.
It's interesting to see how the courts are trying to apply these legal rules to this whole new world of social media. Were there any specific things Judge Tomlinson said that really capture how the court was thinking about this whole issue?
Yeah, there are actually a couple quotes from the judge's opinion that I think are really important. One that really stood out to me was, expressing joy occasionally does not disprove emotional distress.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right. And I think it's so crucial because it acknowledges that just because someone posts happy pictures or talks about having fun doesn't mean they aren't genuinely struggling. We all put our best face forward online sometimes.
Especially on social media. We tend to curate what we share, present this often idealized version of our lives.
Exactly. And the judge was basically saying that the courts need to understand that social media isn't always a completely accurate reflection of someone's emotional state. There's nuance there.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Any other quotes that stand out?
Yeah, there's another one where Judge Tomlinson says that giving the school district broad access would justify probing every personal communication the plaintiff had or sent since the alleged incident.
Whoa, okay, yeah, that's a bit much.
Right, and that quote really gets at the heart of the court's concern about letting discovery get out of control. They were worried that if they gave the school district too much leeway, it would basically open the floodgates to digging through every aspect of Giacchino's life, even things that had absolutely nothing to do with the case.
So they were really thinking about that idea of proportionality, right? Like making sure the burden of discovery isn't way out of line with the potential benefits of the information they might get.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's all about balance. And you know, it's interesting. This Giacchetto decision actually came out before those 2015 amendments to the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure that really emphasize proportionality in discovery. But even back in 2013, the court was clearly thinking about those same ideas.
It sounds like the Giacchetto case really reflects how the legal system is becoming more aware of the privacy issues that come up with social media, especially when it comes to lawsuits.
Definitely. It's not that social media is off limits in lawsuits, not at all. But what Giacchetto tells us is that courts are going to be very careful about how they allow access to that information. Any requests for social media stuff have to be specific, they have to be justified, and they have to respect the idea that people have a right to privacy.
So it's really a landmark case in this whole area of social media and the law.
Absolutely. And even though it was decided back in 2013, it's still super relevant today, especially for legal professionals and, you know, for our listeners who are studying to become lawyers.
Okay, so let's talk about that. What are the big takeaways from this case for our law student listeners? Why is this case from over a decade ago still so important for them to understand?
Well, first off, I think Giacchetto gives us a really practical roadmap for how to handle requests for social media information, not just in employment discrimination cases, but really in any kind of lawsuit.
So, what should lawyers keep in mind when they're going after someone's social media?
For lawyers representing defendants, I think the main takeaway is you can't just go in asking for everything. You got to be specific. You have to explain exactly how the social media information is relevant to the case, how it connects to the actual claims or defenses being made.
It's not enough to just say, well, maybe there's something juicy on there that will help our case.
Nope, those days are over. Courts are going to be much more skeptical of those kinds of broad requests.
And what about for the plaintiffs, the people whose social media is being sought after?
For them, Giacchetto offers some important protections. It says that just because you've filed a lawsuit, it doesn't mean your entire online life becomes public. The court recognized that people have a right to privacy even when they're involved in legal battles.
And it also highlights the crucial role lawyers play in protecting their clients' privacy during discovery.
Absolutely. It's not just about winning the case, it's also about making sure your client's rights are protected throughout the whole process.
That's a key ethical consideration for lawyers, isn't it?
Huge. And it's something law students need to start thinking about now. You have a responsibility to fight for your client, but you also have to do it ethically. And that means respecting the privacy of the other side.
Definitely. Any other advice for our law student listeners who are learning about all this for the first time?
You know, I think the big thing is to remember that this area of law is constantly changing.
Yeah, technology moves so fast.
Cases like Giacchetto give us some great starting points, but it's so important to stay up to date, to keep learning about new cases and new developments in this area, because what might have been acceptable a few years ago might not fly today.
It's a whole new legal frontier.
He really is.
So to kind of wrap things up, I think what Giacchetto really shows us is this delicate balancing act that courts have to do, weighing the need to get evidence in a case against protecting people's right to privacy in this increasingly digital world we live in.
Absolutely. It's not about banning social media from the courtroom. It's about finding ways to use it responsibly, making sure any requests for that information are justified and that they respect everyone's rights.
Well said. Thanks so much for breaking down the Giacchetto case for us. It's super relevant and a really important case for anyone who wants to understand how social media, privacy, and the law all come together, especially in employment discrimination cases.
Happy to be here. Always fascinating to dig into these cases.
Yeah, and for our listeners, before you go, here's something to think about. Social media is only getting more and more intertwined with every part of our lives. So, given that, and given what we learned from Giacchetto about relevance and proportionality, how do you think those legal standards are going to continue to be applied as we get new platforms and as our ideas about privacy keep changing? It's a question worth pondering because, you know, our digital footprint isn't going away anytime soon. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next time for another deep dive.